likeness. After receiving repeated beatings from the soldiers that were strong and healthy fellas, he endured that because of love. Because he loved you more than his own life, he offered his body to be beaten so that God's sense of justice might be accomplished. Is it fair? I don't think so. But I accept it because I need it. Because without that, we would be dust. There would be nothing for us to talk about. We could not be invited back into paradise, the beautiful garden that God planted and in which he put Adam and Eve, living in perfect harmony. Through Jesus' death on the cross, paradise is restored. And this love of God comes to us every day, not only when we come to church, but Monday through Sunday, every single day, every single hour. And that love enables us to love one another and to serve one another like he served us. One day at night, a Pharisee came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. He didn't want to be seen by others coming to where Jesus was, so he went under cover of darkness and he said, How can I be saved? And Jesus said, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus completely did not understand that. And Jesus was talking about the rebirth of water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, can I go back into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Faith, belief, not service, not actions, not good deeds, not good works. Faith, whoever believes in him has eternal life. Nicodemus was one of those two that got to hold the body of Christ when it was dead. He and Joseph of Arimathea went to Pontius Pilate and asked permission to remove the body from the cross. Permission was granted, and they went. As I told you before, I want to shake his hands, because those hands touched my Savior's dead body, taking it from the cross and putting it in the tomb with all due respect. But to him, an audience of one, Jesus spoke those words that everybody in the Christian world knows. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. Love is at the center of divine action in Christ. It was an act of love that led God the Father to create the world in 6 days. It was an act of love that led him to send his Son into the world to restore the world through his Son's death on the cross. So love is essential to God. It is the essence of God. It is essential to the divine Trinity. Love is the one word that describes God best, even better than almighty or omniscient or omnipresent. Love is essential to God. It is love that moves God. So we say God is love. John, the evangelist, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he was a kid of 17, 18, 19, when Jesus was walking in the streets of Jerusalem with his 12 disciples, and John, the youngest of them all, wrote a beautiful, beautiful piece. I cannot improve on it by explaining it. It would just spoil things. So just let this word sink in. He says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. For a moment, think about people that hate other people because they are not like themselves. Where does that fit in the human experience? Nowhere near the Christian church. This is how God showed his love among us. He he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Our sins are atoned, paid for. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify, tell others, that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. God does not overlook any detail in his gifts to us. When he comes with a basket full of gifts, he does not leave us until the last gift has been given to us. And that gift is to enlighten us and to renew in us the hope of eternal life, the complete confidence in his Son, and the desire to let others know about what God has done through Christ. So love is seen in the action of the church. The church is not an entity. It is not an institution. It is an organism. And an organism is something that lives, that breathes, that speaks, that testifies, that loves. And the ultimate form of showing our love for the world is to tell them about this loving God whose Son came to save us. This love is proven and tested in the tempests of life. I saw a man last week that is suffering greatly with an indescribable pain, according to him, of arthritis in a hospital bed where he has been for the last 8 weeks. The doctor said at least another 8 weeks. There is no relief for the pain in sight. And he says to me, you know, I am being tested here, but the devil doesn't know this, that I am enjoying this. I am participating in the sufferings of my Savior, and I am not worthy of that. And I applauded his faith. That is the speech of faith. You trust in God without questioning. So, love is tested in these tempests and trials of life. If love is the essence of God, and he showed this love to us by sending us his Son, then it is our privilege to share it with one another. Let's hang on. It'll get better eventually in paradise. For Jesus came to reopen those doors that were slammed many years ago behind Adam and Eve. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now bring our gifts to our Father.